So we're going to do a little bit of a retrospective on the game and feedback from player Chase Cotton.
I mean, you know, a lot of people travel to MagFit events. I think that they look for that experience, that MilSim experience more so than anything. And I think that this event from the get-go was extremely disorganized. You know, the day we came in to get our check-in done and everything, you know, it just kind of...
And that was Friday evening, right?
Yeah, it just seemed like the people at the event location just didn't really know what was going on, and there wasn't, like, I don't know, just kind of felt...
No,
it was like, it was just very backwoods, like, you know, which is fine. I mean, every event has its own little quirks, I guess, but I think that, like, one of the biggest things was just that a lot of times the refs would just make calls, but they wouldn't, like, hold it to that same call, like, later on in the game, or, like...
So the inconsistency.
Yeah, it was just like, and a lot of it was like, kind of just throw your hands up in the air and say shit like, well, that's how the game goes, you know. And it's like, yeah, but like that's not how it goes for them. If you're like only doing it to us, you know, like people walking out of bounds and like, you know, acting like they're in, like, and then you ask deliberately, are you in or out? And the ref's standing there, and then, you know, you ask him, right, is he in or out? And the ref just like throws up their hands and, I can't say anything. It's like
there was very little like,
it's like
referee integrity.
Yeah, like nothing that happens, nothing out of bounds should ever affect gameplay, right? So if they're intentionally trying to use a tactic that requires them to go out of bounds, like that just like it's off the field. Like the ref should be like, you need to get back because these players are trying to focus on capturing this point. Like you're being an asshole on the sidelines, deliberately trying to fuck with them. Like, that's not okay. And then he's asking me if you're in or out. So I'm going to tell him you're out. Don't shoot this guy. Right?
Right, but the whole thing is that the referee staff should not be a part of the game. They should be running the game.
Refs
right?
are neutral observers. They're a judge, and they have to make calls based upon facts and situations in the moment. And, you know, every judge has a little bit of bias. You know, they might know a guy that's out, you know, on the field. They might know the guy that's, you know, fighting his friend. And so, like... I feel like a lot of refs, you know, have a bias. That's
well,
like
they're
normal.
Not trained on referee
no,
integrity.
I mean, like they're not.
If you,
no,
if you think about the NFL
yeah.
or any of these sports that are more professional, there is a referee integrity. There is a code there that says, hey, like this is the type of gameplay that we're looking for. We're going to adhere to
yeah.
a base set of rules. If you have a conflict, you confer with other referees,
yeah.
right, and the other ref staff. And by no means, I mean, that's why they pull referees for like high school football games from totally different parts of the state.
Yeah,
because right?
they don't know the kids.
They don't
yeah.
want anybody to know the children, the yeah. families, anything like that.
Well, and like, you know, paintball refs, I mean, it's not a profession unless you're at like high tier professional level speedball. Like, and those guys, that's probably a side job. They probably ref other shit on the side. So they have knowledge of how to ref and how to be a good adjudicator of like the rules. But, you know, a lot of times you go to events and it's just like, you know, this guy's just like,
grandma,
he's just a volunteer,
or
you know?
They're
like,
volunteer, their
yeah.
brother or something.
And it's just like, you know, they're more afraid of getting hit than they are of like actually like getting into the field and like figuring out what the like problem is. And there was a lot that I saw countless times where, you know, you pebble somebody with shots, and if the ref didn't see it, that person wasn't out. That it didn't count. And it's like, that's not, you can't have a ref for every player, like in every interaction. And so it's too widespread that it's like, that is the rule, right?
So the referee integrity and inexperience and just downright not having enough,
yeah.
And then the integrity of the players not being honest or not
mm-hmm.
calling hits and things
yeah.
like that introduces a lot of like confusion. And so like talking about confusion, the thing that sticks out in my mind at the top, very top line, is the fact that there was no uniform standard. And they didn't tag people colors. So there was no like blue versus red. They called them blue versus red teams, but they didn't enforce any bans.
Right.
So talk about that on the field, how much confusion that created.
Like friendly fire is one of the worst things, but like you also, you know, it happens. If you're not going to enforce colors, let me take a second. You should always enforce colors. Like, because you can never have a unified team that like the entire side has the same uniform, like that's never gonna happen.
That's not
right.
true, because they do it in airsoft, right?
MilSim
West,
they
American
do.
MilSim, and
yeah.
that weeds out the people who probably shouldn't be there.
Well, you also have to look at the demographic that plays airsoft versus paintball. Like traditionally, you know, people spend a lot more on airsoft. They have the ability to buy, and they don't, you know, they're not getting their gear mucked up with paint, You know, so they're more willing to spend money on their gear because they know it's going to last longer than paintball gear, which is like looks like shit at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So, but to go back to that is if you, every field should enforce some standard for each side, whether it's like they have a badge or they have a color, because you can't say we're not going to enforce, you know, a side and then just hope that your refs on the field are going to keep players honor bound to not say, because they said in the briefing, they're like, you know, don't be saying you're red, right? If you're not red, like, just don't say anything. Just don't say.
Who's going to enforce that if there's right. nobody around?
Well, that's the thing is like you, so back to the original point, always have a color on each side. Cause it creates so much confusion. And like when we're doing, you know, if you're doing a like checkpoint based game where, you know, defenders have to fall back and attackers are moving on, you have to really be careful because if you don't have colors, there were several times where the other side was walking with the guys that were walking back to their next rally point. And then as soon as they got to that next rally point, like it was all gloves were off and they were just firing on them. And like, that's just not fair. You know, like it's not real life. It is a game. Ultimately, you can't make mag-fed paintball real. Yeah. Like you can't say those are the rules of war or that's just how it goes. Like you, like it is a game and people go to these things because they don't want to die. Like they're not in the military. They don't want to get shot yep. with real ammunition. They want to have that experience, but they want to play, but it's the same thing as playing Call of Duty. There are rules, right?
And like, you can clearly tell yeah, sides.
Like
right?
So many times in shooters, you know, when you're playing and like, you know, the enemy's falling back, if you go up any farther than what you're supposed to, you'll get a timer that says you're about to get killed if you don't move back. Like, you know, well, yeah, and it, you know, uniforms and everything.
And you know so. Your units, right? Yeah. So you go, you, that would be like, okay, if you go into a big scenario game, you have 100 guys, they're all part of the same platoon.
Yeah.
And so they all know each other
mm-hmm.
and or they know the name or they know the commanding unit. So it's yeah. like, that is the realest you could get is like having an actual, like, you know, the people that are in your command, but yeah. these are randoms, right? Anytime right. you go to a game, scenario game, it's made up of randoms. Therefore you have to have some baseline standard
mm-hmm.
to tag each side
yep.
because it reduces friendly fire, mm-hmm. which is not a good player experience.
Yeah.
Anytime you get friendly fire, it is not ideal, and game producers should be really concerned about friendly fire happening.
Yeah, because people aren't going to come back.
Because it's also extremely dangerous. If yeah. you friendly fire somebody from the back of the head or they get injured in a bad way, that's on you. Like, yeah. You could have prevented that.
I mean, like, one of the, like, I mean, there's, like, this, I can't think of his name, but he's the guy that wrote the, like, Woods Ball paintball book.
Yeah.
And one, like, yeah, he has a lot, like, of, like, real-world military tactics that he, like, put in that book. But, like, one of the things I remember that sticks out to me is, generally, never fire at somebody when their back's turned to you. Like, that's just not how you do. Like, this is not war. It is a game, and nobody wants to get hurt. And it doesn't matter if you've got them from behind. You can do one of two things. You can call out and say, hey, you know, like, I got you. Like, I'm not going to shoot you. You're out. You know, that's a respectful thing to do. You can go up and barrel tag them if you're sneaky enough. But, like, you should never have the opportunity in paintball so much. Like, the field designers and event designers should always have enough control of the field to know, hey, this is going to be a bad situation because all these guys are going to get smacked in the back of the cranium,
yeah.
which fucking hurts because your mask only protects the front of your face. So if you're not wearing a bounce cap, like, you just get hit like that. And it makes people angry and it hurts them. Like, it physically hurts, but then it, like, wounds their ego. It makes them mad. Like, and then they get mad at the event coordinator because they're like, where can they even come from at this point? They can come from everywhere. And yeah. there's no indication of who they are. So I saw these guys coming up on me, but I wasn't going to give up my position and say, hey, what team are you?
Yeah.
You know, like,
as soon as the player's confidence in the referee staff and the game coordinators
yeah.
dissipates, it's now a bad experience and people aren't going to want to play. They're not going
to
want
to
come back.
Well, and I think, like, this it, more so to the event being kind of like caught in the crossfire of, like, what can we do better with MagFed? Like, Conquering Hell is not necessarily, like, the culprit, right? It's this.
Well, no, it's,
yeah, let's be honest, it's kind, like, of like, at all events have problems. It's more so.
But let's be honest, yeah. like, also this culture of, like, a MagFed event and there being guns on the field that are not MagFed is a real problem.
Because yeah,
there are people out there yeah. running miniature hoppers. Yep. They're running 10-round tubes.
Yeah.
And they're running things that would not fly. It's kind of like saying, oh, we're going to do mixed play.
Yeah.
And so you had a lot of people out there, too, that were just running mixed gear mm-hmm. that would never be allowed in a MagFed purist format. No. And it doesn't make sense. It's also logistically not correct because, again, a plate carrier and everything weighs different. And so yeah. it's a different challenge. It's a unique challenge. That's why we play the sport, is for the challenge of it. Yeah. If you want to do that type of gameplay, just go run limited ammo, low cap, you know,
Yeah.
Regular
just go run games. Pumps, you know, yeah. Like just go run pumps somewhere on a local field. And
the same thing with the box mags there.
Yeah.
Like there were people running box mags and all sorts of like, you know, silly, Australian, you know, hoppers and yeah. stuff. And it just doesn't make any sense at all.
Well,
encourage that type of gameplay. You slap a label of MagFed on it, but you're not really MagFed.
Well, right? there's no like, you know, not yet, but hopefully, you know, at one point MagFed becomes more of a like organized thing amongst like multi-state groups. But, you know, there should be some sort of like consultation. Like if you're going to run a MagFed group, like if you're going to run a MagFed event, there should be a like, what do you do and what do you don't do for a MagFed event? Like what type of gameplay objectives are awesome? What if you want to make your own, you know, make your own, but like what are the best things to play for MagFed, because it's a different play style, right? Like,
well, and that's why, like, you know, we've seen this stuff from like MagFed freelancers and MagFed yeah. society that they have tried to like enforce some standards for like
yeah.
games that are literally a MagFed oriented game. You can pick the rule set, they have the whole guide. You and I looked yeah. at it, remember when we first got yeah. in MagFed, it looked awesome. They had mm-hmm. role types, they had, you know, yeah. basically the same equivalent that Airsoft has in terms of like your FPS rating or your jewel limit. So like how powerful yeah. your gun shoots, like what certain roles. And so it makes it interesting to play said role because that MOS or that specialty gives you access to certain things.
Right.
So like, again, a heavy gunner in a traditional format might not actually even have a box mag at all. It's just that person carries more ammo on the field. Right. Just,
yeah. And like, if you think like, okay, so thinking from a business perspective, you get a lot more players if you do mixed events, which fucking suck for MagFed players, because unless you have a really good speedball group with you on your team, like taking that front line, you're going to be toast against speedball players with MagFed. And once they get on you, like you can't do much.
Yeah, like why not just have all your speedball right. guys run so, box
and if,
mags?
So if you have speedballers on your team that aren't pushing up and you're having to push up with your MagFed in your first strikes, like you're screwed, right? If they have a better speedball team on their side than you.
Or they just have more box mags, so, right? That's what yeah, it is. It's a numbers game.
Yeah, exactly. And so like mixed events, MagFed and Hopper games should just like start to get away from that as they should just introduce more people to MagFed and get away from that. And like, it opens up so many more opportunities to have like cool things like, oh, like, hey, you know, this game allows drones, or like this game allows flashbangs, or like any sort of throwable that you can use. You find that if you nurture a smaller group, eventually it becomes what it needs to be. So like, yeah, we have these huge fields, you know, down here in Texas. We're going to use this huge field to do like a MagFed event. We know the majority of our clientele that comes out here is probably speedballers, but like they all have a MagFed gun, or they have like a, you know,
well, they can do tubes,
they have a five, yeah, they have two tubes, or they have a five round hopper or whatever. Let's just, you know, do that and see what we can do. Like don't, but if it's going to be MagFed, it needs to be like BOP, or it needs to be like 0 hour, where it's like, it's
nothing electronic.
And you know, you need to make sure that like your guys are aware that like, hey, you can have incendiary, so nobody's bitching, right?
Yeah,
like that's the thing, is like, you know, a lot of times you get into these scuffles because there's a different mentality with speedball people and MagFed people.
They're not used to seeing like props or items being used against them, or different ways of play that
right.
come into the tactical nature of MagFed. I mean, you know, if you're sitting behind a bunker and all of a sudden you see smoke in front of you and then somebody grenades you, they're not going to be happy. But unfortunately, that's part of MagFed.
Right.
And so the whole aspect is like the tactical nature of it is what draws people
right.
in. And I think, you know, back to this game, like there was a lot of things we talked about, which is like integrity and consistency of the referee staff, professionalism of the referee staff. You know, we didn't get that as well. Like we could definitely tell that there was, you know, a lot of like insider knowledge and people knew each other, and
well, yeah, I mean,
that's
like,
going to
yeah.
be anywhere, but it was definitely more prevalent and, you know, obvious here. And I think that also if you look at a lot of just the gameplay mechanics, like you're playing on a huge field, you need a lot more refs to cover the field. I think it's important that, you know, I personally got injured during the mm-hmm. event, right? And so what if I would have been, you know, farther down in a holler or across the field?
I mean, I was like, alone for a whole hour on my own.
Yeah.
You know, like.
If you collapse out there from heat exhaustion. So I think that that's where, like, also just, you know, taking an abundance of caution and making sure your ref staff is, like, actually properly briefed
mm-hmm.
the day of. And not just the day of. They should be briefing, like, weeks before.
Right.
They should know that game, like, the back of their hand. And that's, I'm sorry, that's, like, just the floor. And if you can't operate that way, then you need to condense the field and run it with the staff that you have appropriate. And I think that's the problem, is a lot of these places and these event organizers just jump to, oh, we'll just get a couple of people that can, you know, I'll get my cousin that knows nothing about paintball, or this, you know, whoever, and they're going to just show up the day of. and be able to perform as a referee that's going to be making some calls that are really hard, right?
Yeah.
And people get heated and stuff happens. And so I think that's where all field experiences should start, and they should also kind of temper the expectations. Because a lot of the time now, when we've been to events, it's all a money grab. So these fields are using it as a money grab. It's one more way for them to say, hey, it's they slap a MagFed label on it. It's not MagFed. It's just they're trying to get the additional people who play MagFed to come to an event.
Right.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
And I think it's quite frankly just kind of bullshit, especially if you've traveled, you know, hundreds of miles. You've taken, you know, 15, 16-hour drives. You brought in a crew down like we did to, you know, not hold organizers to a very high standard. Yeah. There should be a really high bar, and I think people need to, like, be pushing back on that.
And I mean, like, reviewing an event is a hard thing to do, right? Because everybody has opinions on it, you know, winning side, losing side. There's always, like, you know, things that people are mad about.
Well, just like, again, back to the very beginning, right? Yeah. The logistics of check-in.
Yeah.
That was a mess.
Oh,
because
yeah.
they, you know, they said you can check in, you know, but the day before they were understaffed.
The two people that were there didn't even work for the event, I don't think. Yeah, they were just for the facility.
The two people didn't know what was going on. No. They were overwhelmed. They had almost handed us way more first strike rounds than we even paid for.
I almost got 300 more than I needed.
So, and I also got received bags I wasn't supposed to have, right? And we made sure that those got back to them. But that happened a couple of times to people. They ran out. First strike. So we were kind of like an early group in there to check in. We came in at, you know, 5 o'clock on a Friday, and the people behind us, there was a line out the door,
and they couldn't even
get any.
Well, and then they're, they're trying to source from other fields, and like, you shouldn't have to do that. And like, I know that there had been a request from some of the organizers who had like been like, hey, how many first strikes do you think that you, like, realistically your team's
gonna buy extra?
We gave them a number, and where was that, right? And maybe other people didn't respond, so those people bought that stuff before we had a chance, or people before us. Or
we bought, our allotment.
Well, right? we got what we registered for and then some, because we were pretty much first in line at check-in. But, you know, to the point of, I forgot where I was going here, for like the point of, you know, it being a money grab and a thing like that, don't tell people after you've run out that you can give me $20 to use what you own.
Yeah, because that favors everyone local, right?
Correct.
So anybody who has traveled far, we've traveled from Indiana, Louisiana, and Kentucky to come to Texas to play. We run our own field. We operate our own field. We can bring our own ammo.
Yeah.
We would have brought our own ammo had we known that we could bring our own ammo.
So, like, that logistic was very, very poorly thought out, because it's untoward to say, hey, you need to give me money to use paint because we ran out of paint. It's your fucking event. Like, if you want us to play, like,
make
stuff there. We'll
You told us field paint only.
Yeah.
And now you're going back on that. So so basically what you're saying is, oh, it's okay for anybody who didn't plan ahead and pre-order to go ahead and use whatever they have.
Yeah, for only $20.
Yeah, which is a huge ripoff to the people who, like I said, we could have brought our own and we could have saved a ton of money.
Well, and to add to that fact, what does that mean when you get out there and somebody who didn't pay that $20 just is like, well, I'm just going to use whatever I have because they said it. So, they're like, oh, you have to have a wristband or something like that. Like,
nobody checked anybody for wristbands.
I never got checked for paint color. I never got checked to see, like, hey, are you running field paint?
Nobody
checked chronos? When we got there, you know, nobody was in the chrono booth. So, like, you know, I know there, I mean, people are overshooting, but it's MagFed. So, you know, it hits hard anyway. Like, it's okay. But at the end of the day, like, you have to make sure, and like, this is what, 10 years? They've been doing this for 10 years?
I don't know, they said something like five. It definitely didn't seem like 5 years.
Five at this field, and I mean, I've been to events that have only done it for less than that, and they're way more organized. They, you know, at briefing, they're like, okay, these are the refs that have med kits. These are the refs that you go talk to when, you know, somebody's down, or, you know, this is so-and-so, like, he's my second, like, game master, like, you go to him for objectives. Like, it's just, I don't know, it just was like, all over the place.
It was a money grab. It was a total, like, let's slap a label on it. Let's try to get people down here and get them excited. And then you show up and the experience is far below the bar that I think players should expect from people when you're spending this much money to travel and go to something.
Well, yeah, MagFed's not cheap. People know how much first strikes are. So just next time, just say, hey, you can bring your own paint, but the admission has gone up. And just call it a day.
Mm-hmm.
Double the admission and tell them they can bring whatever the fuck paint they want.
Yep.
There's no paint out there that is going to, that the only reason they wouldn't allow it is because they want your money.
Yeah, they want to make make $30 off of a case.
Which I get, it's a business. But at the same time, if you can't continually provide the paint that you need. Like, just give it up. Just tell people to bring their own paint. Call it a day. Make the money that you can make. And there's no paint that's gonna harm people more than anything else that's on their. Like, what are you worried about?
Yeah,
just them not spending money at your field.
Pretty much that. Like I said, it's an opportunity for them to make money on the top. It's for them to add an additional layer of that pie.
Yeah,
a crust on the top. It's like we're gonna take again 20 to 30% on top of every box you buy. Right. Yeah. It's like.
Well, and like it's all in all, Milsim MagFed, or you know, MagFed with Milsim, or however you want to say it. I think we need to focus on it being like a smaller group. Like, you can do smaller Milsim MagFed events.
That are wonderful.
That are amazing. And it will grow. Don't try to put MagFed into the same thing you've been doing for large events for speedball players or hopper-fed paintball. Don't put MagFed in that group, because it's not. It's a totally separate thing nowadays. And it has so much support. But it's going to fall to the wayside if everybody keeps going to these events and then they feel like, well, why am I spending money on magazines when I could just go get, you know, a die hopper and just a roto hopper or whatever and just shoot 400 shots out of it.
Well, that's why you have to be almost like a purist about this. Like, yeah. You know, I'm part of the Bitcoin community, and there's Bitcoin purists that are like, if you're not buying Bitcoin, you're not helping the community. And the same thing with MagFed. Like, if you're not pushing this idea that, you know, it does need to be actually limited ammo. There needs to be specific MOs. Yep. There, you know, we need to enforce some sort of, even just uniform standard for games would be like a huge step in the right direction to start attracting people from the big growing, you know, airsoft side. Like, again, starting our own field, we've seen this huge interest in kids, younger players that didn't even know that it existed.
Right.
And the ones that are really interested in like gas blowback, and they're interested in low cap, so you know, anything under 30 rounds for the realism, they really are drawn to the MagFed scene, because they're like, I get it, like,
yeah,
this is actually the kind of, you know, the epitome of like what we would want to play. And I think people also identify with like the athleticism of it, which I've talked about a lot, which is, if you're playing MagFed, a lot of the time, if you look at the people that are playing MagFed are just in general a lot more athletic. I'm just going to put it out there. They can move.
Because they can't, they don't have to stand there and shoot.
Yep, they're not using their, you know, their hopper or their volume of ammo as a crutch.
Yeah.
And so therefore, they're having to get in close, and they're having to make moves and, you know, be a little bit more well-trained. So I just think that, again, like back to the purist mentality, like events like this that slap a MagFed-only thing, you know, I think we all, as like a community, need to be intensely scrutinizing. We also need to be really demanding with people who are not familiar with MagFed and organizers that are trying to do, you know, he was talking at the end of that, like, oh yeah, we're doing this type of event, you know, in South Carolina, that's going to be like an open class. It's like, you're doing all these different types of events, but you're not doing any of them really well from what I can see. Yeah. So it's kind of a situation where it's like the people who are pushing MagFed, you know, make the meetup, make it pure. Don't water it down. Do not water it down.
Yeah. Well, and it's, you know, I mean, you're never going to... Airsoft is where it is, and it has the support that it has, like, across the world, because people have been scrutinizing, right? They've been specific about what they want it to be, right? MagFed needs to be the same way, and it needs to be separated from traditional paintball. Like, it needs to just be a separate thing entirely, because... when you say paintball, what do you think? You know, you think of these bright colored jerseys, you think of hoppers, you think of
ridiculous,
you know,
these masks,
ridiculous looking guns. It is a certain type of thing that people enjoy, which is great. It's a hobby. It keeps people active. People have fun with it. And that's not to say to take anything away from it, but MagFed needs to be a tried and true, just separate thing entirely, you know? And again, going back to this event, at the end of the day, it was ran poorly. It was a decent time, but it was a confusing time because of the weird rules that they were enforcing, the weird calls that they would make and then not enforce later. But I think that when I was able to literally walk up behind three or four people and have full-blown conversations with them on the other team, because there was no color indicator, and like... That doesn't happen. Like, yeah. I had conversations with these people, and I'm
just like, you didn't even shoot them. You just walked away from them.
Yeah, I just walked away from them, because I'm not going to sit there and, like, I mean, you know, I would tell them I was the other team, but I'm like, I'm not going to get you out. Like, you know, you just chill here. Like, I just, it just, like, that level of tactic would not happen if it was a true mag-fed event with stricter rules and just better coordination out in the field. Because the refs were, you know, we would get dropped in and then all of a sudden, you know, the game master's coming over and trying to give us a briefing during during an active field. And we're like trying to listen to this. He's like, you need to come up and listen. Everybody needs to listen to this because it's super important. I'm only going to go over it once. And then another ref brings a whole nother, like, you know, 15 people from the other team, you know, 15 yards away from you. And then they're like, okay, there's the objective, go for it. And they just start blasting you after the game master has pulled you out of cover to tell you, hey, I got to talk to you guys about this briefing. And then there's no like, hey, wait, don't shoot. Like, there, you know, you guys got to reset. Like, none of that shit. It was wild.
It was chaos and hell.
Yeah, I mean, I've played worse events for sure, but they were mixed events. This is probably like the MagFed event that I would
say rank the lowest.
Yeah, probably rank the lowest. Yeah, yeah, it just was not what it needed to be. So, but you know, you live and you learn. Just means we don't have to come back to Gun Barrel City,
Gun Barrel City, Texas.
So, yeah, are we done?